My name's Aurelio Henlon from Tampa, Florida, CIA. I've heard the concern a lot, and I've had a lot of talks with different people, but I just think it would be valuable to ask y'all to have y'all talk for just a moment. Many people are concerned because there have been many endeavors in the past that have started up great and gone horribly wrong. What have we learned, and how are we making sure that this one is not an endeavor that starts right and goes wrong?
Well, I think number one, if you look, Jesus trained some guys, and then he equipped those guys, and within about 150 to 200 years, they became apostate. So, number one, that's built into the system as long as there's good and evil. The solution is not to say let's bury our talent because somehow it might be lost. And I think we've just got to address that sometimes a lot of our concerns are cop-outs. That, you know, we're not wanting to pay a price, we're not wanting to be serious, so it's easier to have concerns and do nothing. Oh, I'm concerned. Sometimes concern is just Portuguese for I don't want to do it. And we have somebody who speaks Portuguese here, and he'll tell you that's what it is, isn't it, Ben? That's right. Thank you very much. But I think, again, you know, I think you have to just keep your focus on being like Christ and doing that. And it, I think sometimes the fear that we have of, oh, what is going to go wrong? Biblically, check and see how often fear, not doing something out of fear, is biblically motivated. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and by the way, self-discipline. So love, caring for people, power is the ability to do it. Self-discipline is the ability to keep it in line.
To me, that's somewhat the same way as saying, I don't want to get married because I'm afraid I'll get divorced. But a lot of marriages do last and do work with it, and it depends on what you put into it when you're doing it. So if you're really concerned about the end result, you be sure you put the input into it that gets you what you want out of it. The average church, for instance, the research shows that when they hit 30 to 40 years, they will go into a downsize. Okay, so you have a spiral, you have a plane, and then you decrease on it. Now, if you don't stop it while you're in that plane, when you've planed off at the top or plateaued at the top, and in fact, even then you're a little bit on the late side, and you wait till you start going down, man, it's like pulling teeth. You just can't hardly get it to go back up. But if you catch it on the downside, just as it begins to plateau, you can start it and take it on up to a higher level, and people are ready to go. So it's wise to look. I guess what I'm saying is look ahead when you get into it and always be re-evaluating what's working, what's not working, what do we need to work on and change right now. So at least every 6 months or every year you go through that process. What's working, what's not working, what do we need to change right now?
As Aurelio knows, the elders asked me that specific question. I went into an elders meeting to get approval for the board members of and the actual concept of taking our CIA and turning it into something that could be used in campuses across the country, mainly because of the first plant is wanting to use CIA. And so I went to them to get their approval on what we were doing and inform them what they were doing. They asked me that specific question. How do we know this is not going to turn into what the ICOC turned into? How are we going to have control over that? I looked at them and said, you're not. God's in charge of this. We're not. He's the one that's going to keep it and go have the direction he wants it to go. Is it possible somebody can take it later on and turn it the wrong direction? Absolutely. Satan's going to be after it from the very beginning. He's already after it. But as long as I'm breathing and I'm someone who has an influence on it, it won't go that direction. But is it possible it'll go there eventually? Of course. Men are men.
Well, if it's on fire for the Lord and souls are being saved for 20 years and then something happens, thank God for the 20 years. Because if we hadn't gotten started, we'd have never had the 20 years.
Isn't it strange that Paul, when he leaves Ephesus, he gives a prophecy that from among the elders, there's going to be false teaching is going to rise and they're going to be wolves. But yet God allows him to leave and allows the church to continue. And by the way, the first century church, the apostate church, looked very much structurally like the ICOC. Honestly, just look and check and see that you had the advance. So did God stop it? No, because it's the only hope is that it's right. What we have to do as men and women is to make sure that we're focused on Christ and that we're focused on loving. And I don't want to be rude whenever I say, but honestly, there we cannot quit because of fear. That the solution is not to bury the talent. I was just sitting here thinking out of the small groups that we have, the 5-6 small groups at the church planting, every one of them are led by people other than the ones that my wife and I are involved in. Every one of them are led by people that were won through our high school or our campus ministry at Greater Alton. Every one of them. That's pretty significant. How do you not have value when people begin to see that over the long haul? So develop those people, reach people, develop sooner or later. I don't know how you cannot value that ministry. And that's one reason we were committed. Yeah, so it just, you know, as you add that value because they're blessing people's lives.
Sometimes when you're looking for support to build a campus ministry in a local congregation, and you're evangelistic and others in the congregation, including the leadership, are not, they're shamed. They're embarrassed. And their emotional escape is to find fault with what you're doing. You're not a part of this congregation. You're not supporting the congregation. You're not integrating with this congregation. And what's really happening, what they're really saying, the message is not what they're saying. The message is, I'm embarrassed that I'm not evangelistic. I thought I was a leader. I don't feel like a leader. I feel like a failure. And so you can take the humble, loving, honor leaders, even when they're imperfect, like the Apostle Paul backed up the truck pretty quick, right after he said, God will strike you, you whitewashed wall. And somebody said, hey, you know, that's a high priest, and Paul backed up the truck. Honor them, and anytime you can give them some value for the evangelism, if they had any small part in encouraging you to do it, or ask them, could we have a devotional at your house? Even if the main purpose of that, not that their house is good, but that then they helped. So you can then thank them for helping, so they can then get some value, so they can have been a part. Does that make sense? Because every man is looking to be valued, and every church increases every activity where an individual got some value and some esteem and some respect. And so look for ways to help other members who aren't involved get some respect and value from it. I mean, send a college student over to their house and ask them, you know, ma'am, could you teach? These girls really want to learn how to cook. Is there any way, I mean, you're really good at this, that we could send them over and you could give them a couple of lessons? They go over, and then in your next Sunday sermon, you can talk about how, you know, Sister so-and-so lovingly shared her talents and is helping with the campus ministry. And it's true. You can't lie. Liars go to hell.
And think of how many men will be thankful later on that they learned to cook. So, hey.